Thank you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. On the first week of each month, the Mormon Channel presents quotes and insights on the Relief Society visiting teaching message. This month, the message is entitled, Our Responsibility to Participate in Temple and Family History Work. The prophet Joseph Smith said, the greatest responsibility in this world that God has laid upon us is to seek after our dead. The saints' united effort to build a temple in Nauvoo centered on their love for their families. The prophet Joseph Smith had taught them that they could be baptized in behalf of their family members who had died. One sister in Nauvoo found great comfort in baptisms for the dead and the promise of an eternal family. Sally Randall had lost her 14-year-old son, George, shortly after she moved to Nauvoo. She sent the sad news to family members she had left behind. Shortly thereafter, she learned about baptism for the dead. Again, she wrote her relatives, but this time it was with the assurance and newfound peace. Quote, George's father has been baptized for him, and what a glorious thing it is that we believe and receive the fullness of the gospel as it is preached now, and can be baptized for all of our dead friends, and save them as far back as we can get any knowledge of them. I want you to write me the given names of all of our connections that are dead, as far back as grandfathers and grandmothers, at any rate. I intend to do what I can to save my friends. I expect you will think this is strange doctrine, but you will find it to be true. Close quote. To her mother, who had also lost a child to death, Sally continued, Oh, mother, if we are so happy as to have a part in the first resurrection, we shall have our children just as we laid them down in their graves. Sister Julie B. Beck explains that the temple was a focus of early Relief Society lessons.
We also learn from history that the prophet Joseph Smith used Relief Society meetings to instruct the sisters in their preparation for the temple. Today, family history and temple work continue to be some of the primary obligations of Relief Society.
The primary purpose of family history work is to obtain names and other genealogical information so that temple ordinances can be performed in behalf of deceased ancestors. In the spirit world, the restored gospel is preached to those who died without receiving it in mortality. Many of those in the spirit world accept the gospel, but without a body, they cannot receive the ordinances necessary for salvation. Speaking of the importance of temple and family history work in our Heavenly Father's plan, Gordon B. Hinckley has stated,
To me, it is significant that in the opening of this dispensation, the foretelling of this remarkable family history work occurred on the initial visit of Moroni to the boy Joseph Smith on the evening of September 21, 1823. He addressed the 17-year-old youth by his first name and said that he was a messenger sent from the presence of God and that his name was Moroni, that the Almighty had a work for Joseph to do. He then told of the Book of Mormon record, and after speaking in some detail concerning this, he quoted from the book of Malachi. He declared, as we've heard, Behold, I will reveal unto you the priesthood by the hand of Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall plant in the hearts of the children the promises made to the fathers, and the hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers. If it were not so, the whole earth would be utterly wasted at his coming. I repeat, my brethren and sisters, it is tremendously significant to me that this declaration, this repetition of the wondrous words of Malachi concerning work for the dead, was given to the boy Joseph 4 years before he was allowed to take the plates from the hill. It was given before he received either the Aaronic or Melchizedek priesthood, before he was baptized, and well before the church was organized. It says much concerning the priority of this work in the plan of the Lord.
From the earliest days of the church down to the present, sisters of the Relief Society have been involved with and supported this great work. Sister Sylvia H. Allred, first counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency, teaches of the eternal significance of temples.
Soon after the church was restored in this dispensation, the Lord commanded the saints to build a temple. Organize yourselves, prepare every needful thing, and establish a house, even a house of prayer, a house of fasting, a house of faith, a house of learning, a house of glory, a house of order, a house of God. In response, the saints built the Kirtland Temple at considerable sacrifice. In this holy temple, important priesthood keys were restored, and the Savior himself appeared. We have been instructed to build temples so that holy ordinances may be performed for both the living and the dead. These ordinances include initiatory ordinances, endowments, marriages, sealings, baptisms for the dead, and ordinations.
The book True to the Faith teaches, as you receive priesthood ordinances in behalf of those who have died, you become a savior on Mount Zion for them. Your effort approaches the spirit of the Savior's atoning sacrifice. You perform a saving work for others that they cannot do for themselves. President Thomas S. Monson reminds us that temple work continues to be a main focus for Latter-day Saints today.
We continue to build temples. We desire that as many members as possible have an opportunity to attend the temple without having to travel inordinate distances. Worldwide, 83% of our members live within 200 miles of a temple. That percentage will continue to increase as we construct new temples around the world. Millions of ordinances are performed in the temples each year in behalf of our deceased loved ones. May we continue to be faithful in performing such ordinances for those who are unable to do so for themselves.
There are many personal blessings members of the church receive as they participate in temple and family history work. One such blessing is the joy we feel in serving and providing relief or service to our ancestors. A second blessing is receiving the Spirit into our lives in greater abundance to comfort, guide, and strengthen us. President Thomas S. Monson speaks of the joy in serving ancestors.
What a privilege it is to be able to go to the temple where we may experience the sanctifying influence of the Spirit of the Lord. Great service is given when we perform vicarious ordinances for those who've gone beyond the veil. In many cases, we do not know those for whom we perform the work. We expect no thanks, nor do we have the assurance they will accept that which we offer. However, we serve, and in that process, we attain that which comes of no other effort. We literally become saviors on Mount Zion. As our Savior gave his life as a vicarious sacrifice for us, so we, in some small measure, do the same when we perform proxy work in the temple for those who have no means of moving forward unless something is done for them by those of us here on the earth.
Elder Russell M. Nelson teaches that temple and family history work provides a way for families and generations to be linked in love.
Consider the spiritual connections that are formed when a young woman helps her grandmother enter family information into a computer, or when a young man sees the name of his great-grandfather on a census record. When our hearts turn to our ancestors, something changes inside us. We feel part of something greater than ourselves. Our inborn yearnings for family connections are fulfilled when we are linked to our ancestors through sacred ordinances of the temple.
President Boyd K. Packer teaches us further of the joy of serving our ancestors through sacred temple and family history work in an Ensign article titled, Your Family History, Getting Started. He writes, family history work has the power to do something for the dead. It has an equal power to do something to the living. Family history work of church members has a refining, spiritualizing, tempering influence on those who are engaged in it. They understand that they are tying their family together, their living family here with those that have gone before. You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program on the December visiting teaching message, Our Responsibility to Participate in Temple and Family History Work. The following is a personal experience from one sister who found great joy in doing temple work for her deceased ancestors.
Several years ago, I had a wonderful experience in the temple. I had the privilege of being baptized for several of my husband's great-grandmothers and other female ancestors. And I'll always remember the sweet joy that I felt as I did these baptisms. As I was being baptized, I felt that these dear ancestors were there with me. I didn't hear a voice, I didn't see them, but I felt this deep sense of gratitude from them. My heart filled with this joy that I can't describe, because I knew that they were with me and that they were grateful that we were doing their temple work for them. Several weeks passed, and I thought about that experience often. But then one day, my husband and I were getting ready to go to the temple and trying to be on time for our ward temple night. And I had a hard time focusing once we got to the temple. I was busy thinking of the children and the other concerns that I'd left at home. And I even carried those worries with me into the session. I hadn't even given a single thought to the fact that the name I held in my hand belonged to one of those ancestors that I had been baptized for several weeks earlier. All of a sudden, my thoughts were interrupted, and it was kind of like a gentle reprimand. This ancestor, I felt close to her again, and I felt that she wanted me to pay attention. And she wanted me to focus on the sacred temple work because she had waited a really long time to have her temple work done. And I needed to be reverent and respect that sacred experience that was now hers to be in the temple, having her temple work done. At that moment, I said a prayer and I asked Heavenly Father to please forgive me and help me to focus on the sacred work that I was doing. As I did, that beautiful feeling returned. It was the feeling of my ancestors' gratitude, the same feeling I'd felt in the baptismal font, that overwhelming gratitude that she was grateful that I was there in the temple that day doing her work for her. This experience solidified in my heart the importance of sacred temple work and the joy that we can experience as we do for our ancestors what they cannot do for themselves.
Family history and temple work bring great spiritual blessings of comfort, guidance, and spiritual strength into the lives of all those who participate. At a recent BYU Women's Conference, Sister Julie B. Beck, Relief Society General President, described some of the spiritual blessings.
I would suggest that each of us go to the temple and pay attention. Pay attention in the temple to what is happening, how things happen, the blessings that are given, who are they given by, and the powers that come to you. Listen to the words, the temple ordinances, and learn the powers that the Lord has given you through His priesthood. I have been places in the world where women aren't able to read. They haven't had the opportunity, or have they been taught. But because of the Lord's power that is placed upon them and the covenants they've made in the temple and His Spirit that is poured out upon them, they are powerful women. They can discern His will, solve major problems, and feel peace and comfort and guidance in their lives.
In the December Ensign Visiting Teaching Message, Sister Beck teaches, quote, "Over the centuries, many people have died without knowledge of the gospel. Some of those people are your near and distant relatives. They are waiting for you to do the necessary research to link your families together and perform saving ordinances on their behalf." Close quote. Many members feel an urgency to do temple work for their ancestors, yet they are often confused as to how to begin. President Boyd K. Packer shares his advice and personal experiences in the Ensign article titled, Your Family History, Getting Started. He writes, quote, "Several years ago, Sister Packer and I determined that we should get our records in order. However, under the pressure of church responsibilities with my travels about the world and the obligations with our large family and a home to keep up, both indoors and outdoors, there just was not enough time. But we were restless about this family history responsibility, and finally we determined that somehow we would have to make more time in the day. We adopted the practice of getting up an hour or two earlier each day. We gathered together everything we had, and in the course of a few weeks, we were amazed at what we were able to accomplish. The thing that was most impressive, however, was the fact that we began to have experiences that told us somehow that we were being guided, that there were those beyond the veil who were interested in what we were doing. Things began to fall into place. As I have traveled about the church and paid particular attention to this subject, many testimonies have come to light. Others who assemble their records together are likewise having similar experiences. It was as though the Lord was waiting for us to begin. We began to learn by personal experience that this research into our families is an inspired work. We came to know that an inspiration will follow those who move into it. It's just a matter of getting started. Once we started, we found the time. Somehow, we were able to carry on all of the other responsibilities. There seemed to be an increased inspiration in our lives because of this work. Close quote. One sister shares how she has a strong testimony of family history work, but she's having trouble getting started.
My name is Margaret Stewart, and just recently I have made it a goal that I needed to be better with my family history. I served as a missionary in Denmark, and a lot of my heritage is from Denmark, and while I was there, there was actually a lady who helped me and did some research for me while I was there. But I have had those names for the last 27 years and have not done anything with them. And lately, I've been feeling a real press to do something with it. I don't have the internet at home. We do have a church family history center in our stake. I'm going to the temple once a week, but I realized I've got to be doing this for my people. And so just lately with my husband, we talked about I need to get those names and be going and doing that for them. It is a challenge. I have a frustration with computers. I don't feel like I always know what I'm doing. But that's where I'm at with family history in my life. My grandparents did a bunch. My parents did not. And so it's me or nobody. And the longer I live, the more I am keenly aware of our personal salvation is not an independent thing. We are absolutely linked. As you stand in the temple, and you at a ceiling, and they show you the past and the future, we are linked to those generations. And not only do our ancestors before us depend on us for those blessings to be able to leave spirit prison and to progress in the spirit world, but the generations that come after us are also affected by how we view our family and how important that is to us. And if we don't pass on that importance, it can be lost. In one generation, it can be gone. We are to be welded together. And it's obvious from the scriptures and everything that family is everything. Very recently, I have a friend, her dad got a lot of names temple ready and asked his children if they would help get them done. And one day we were doing initiatory work, and as I was going through doing the work, I realized that I had a mother and a daughter as I was just looking at them. And doing the initiatories, I felt very strongly that, that they were aware of what was taking place for them at that time, and it was very important to them. And as I came out of that session to my friend, I said, when we do endowments next week, we need to do this mom and daughter. And it was equally an amazing experience to go through for them, for their endowments the next week. So it is real. And there have been other times when I've gone through the temple just for a random name when it felt different to me and I knew. So I have the time. I have the interest and the testimony of it, but I really do not know where to start. Like, I would not know if you sat me down in front of a computer. I just wouldn't know how to start.
Many of us may feel like Sister Stewart. We have the desire, but we don't know where to start. Sister Carol Clark from the Church Family History Department shares some tips on how to begin.
Hi, I'm Carol Clark, and I work in the Family History Library. I'm here to give you a few tips of how to get started. The website is new.familysearch.org. This website was created to make it easier for you to learn about your ancestors and prepare their names for temple ordinances. New Family Search will be the place where you can find your deceased family members. You can record data about them and prepare their names for temple ordinances. Now, one of the exciting things about New Family Search is that additional functions and records are being added to it regularly. So the program is improving and changing over time. Currently, New Family Search is only available for members. FamilySearch.org is still available to everyone around the world. Now, FamilySearch.org has been provided by the church for a number of years as a site where individuals could go and find their ancestors and a lot of other wonderful materials. It is not the same thing as New Family Search. Over time, these sites will merge. The first thing that you need to do on New Family Search is to register. This allows the church system to link you with your family. It is a remarkable thing. When you go in on the main page of New Family Search, you'll be invited to register. You'll need your membership number in order to do that. And you can get your membership number from your ward clerk if you don't already have it. When you register with your number, you click and you're going to see your family. And I can tell you, it's a tender thing to go in and see yourself connected with generations of your own family. It's always tender to me every time I go do it. Now, once you've registered and you want to get started, if you're brand new to family history, you may think, well, what in the world do I do now? I'm registered. I can see myself and my family, but now what? Well, I think that a wonderful place to start is to check and see if there are any ordinances that might be available for you to do. Well, how will you know if temple ordinances are available for you to complete them? What you're going to see when you look at names in your family tree, you're going to see some temple icons. And what you would see is a mark by it that would signify if you could do some temple work. If you see a big green arrow to the left of that temple icon, then that means there's some work that could be done. So click on those people and see what ordinances might be available. The system will guide you in a very good way to see which ordinances might be ready for you to reserve and then do. If you see a temple icon with a check by it, that means all the ordinances have been done. And that's comforting too, because then you know that those people, their work's in place, and you don't have to worry about that. Now, particularly for those folks who've been in the church a long time, you see generation upon generation. And you might have a lot of names that are duplicates. Well, that can be daunting because you think, oh dear, do I need to combine all these names? Well, you could spend a lot of time combining names, but my suggestion when you're brand new still is go to see first if there is work you can do. Try to provide those experiences for your family if you can before you get more involved in needing to do the research that helps you identify which names are correct and which names aren't and combining people. I come from pioneer ancestry, and I can spend between now and death combining names. Now, there might be some need for me to do some combining, but what I'm focusing on is trying to find names for whom I can do their temple work. So that might give you a little help and feel less daunting. Now, what can you do when you get started and you're thinking, wow, I'm not sure how to proceed. I've looked at some names. I can't see any work that needs to be done immediately. What do I do now? Well, a good thing to do is to talk with your ward family history consultant. Usually ward family history consultants have some good experience researching in family history, and they can help you look at your own lines and make some decisions about what might be an appropriate research goal that you could pursue. Another thing, if you live in proximity to a family history center, that is a great place to go for information. If your ward has a family history class, I would recommend that you consider taking that. Lots of times in the family history class, you will be able to go in online, look at your own family lines, and get some help knowing what to do next. That is a great thing. Now, there are some additional sources of help once you get in to New Family Search that I would urge you to take a look at. On the main page of New Family Search, you're going to see a link that says Help Center. The Help Center has an amazing array of resources that you can access as you wish. Now, for example, if you were to go into the section of the Help Center that's called Training and Resources, you'll see a link to e-learning courses. There are all kinds of training available. You can go in and you can learn how to do the different functionality. You can practice. Another thing that you'll find is that there are some common questions about New Family Search. The questions that people tend to ask most often may be the questions that you also have as you begin. Now, on the homepage of New Family Search, you're going to see a link that would guide you to some tutorials and some guides. And these can also be really helpful. Some of us love paper. We feel more comfortable with a piece of paper we can mark up and reference easily again whenever we want to. And so there are some paper guides that you could print if you wanted to. One I would recommend that you look at if you're brand new to family history is A Member's Guide to Temple and Family History Work, because this really gives you a helpful overview of why do we do this and some ways to think about starting your own family history. Now, under the tutorials, you're going to find really helpful information. For example, how do you combine and separate records? How do you display correct information or be sure it's displayed right? How do you add missing individuals? Those kinds of tutorials are very helpful, again, as you get started and you're thinking, wow, how do I do this? And I don't want to make any mistakes. What's nice about these tools is being able to do them at home or wherever you have internet access. You can pick it up, but you can also put it down. You don't have to make a commitment of a huge amount of time. I think those are some great advantages of being involved with these tools and getting involved with family history. You can involve your children, your grandchildren in this in some really nice and delightful ways. I was delighted when I talked with our General Relief Society President, Julie Beck, who told me about how she and her husband were learning New Family Search. In that process, she invited one of her granddaughters, who was 12, to join her. And this wonderful granddaughter just took off with family history, and she found so many names that the family was able to go to the temple and do a sealing session just based on the names that she had found. I thought that was a wonderful thing, and I really appreciated the enthusiasm that Sister Beck and her family had for this family history tool that had been so meaningful to them and particularly to their granddaughter. So those experiences are certainly available to anyone who chooses to get involved with family history doing indexing or looking at New Family Search. Families are so important. To me, my family relationships are extremely sacred. And a great thing about having these tools of having Family Search Indexing and the New Family Search System is that it allows me to participate more regularly in the process of doing family history, of finding more of my ancestors, of connecting with my family. There's a unique sense of belonging that I think comes as you find your own forebears and identify them as individuals who have blessed your life through the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, the other legacies that they leave that we find as we do our family history. So I have a great testimony of the importance of this work and the blessings that can come to all of us as we participate in it. I leave this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program on the December visiting teaching message, Our Responsibility to Participate in Temple and Family History Work. We hope you were able to understand a little bit more about family history work and how to get started from Sister Carol Clark. We must take to heart the Lord's counsel on temple service as spoken through his prophets. President Gordon B. Hinckley gave this admonition.
I urge you, my brethren and sisters, to utilize the temples of the church. Go there and carry forward the great and marvelous work which the God of heaven has outlined for us. There let us learn of his ways and his plans. There let us make covenants that will lead us in paths of righteousness, unselfishness, and truth. There let us be joined as families under an eternal covenant administered under the authority of the priesthood of God. And there may we extend these same blessings to those of previous generations, even our own forebears, who await the service which we can now give. May the blessings of heaven rest upon you, my beloved brethren and sisters. May the spirit of Elijah touch your hearts and prompt you to do that work for others who cannot move forward unless you do so. May we rejoice in the glorious privilege that is ours. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The prophet Joseph Smith wrote the following in a letter to the saints, later recorded in Doctrine and Covenants, section 128. And now, my dearly beloved brethren and sisters, let me assure you that these are principles in relation to the dead and the living that cannot be lightly passed over as pertaining to our salvation. For their salvation is necessary and essential to our salvation. As Paul says concerning the fathers, that they without us cannot be made perfect, neither can we without our dead be made perfect. Relief Society General President Julie B. Beck concludes this month's visiting teaching message with these words. Temple and family history work is part of our work of providing relief or service to our own ancestors. Thank you for joining us today as we've discussed the December visiting teaching message, our responsibility to participate in temple and family history work. May each of us heed the counsel of the Lord's appointed leaders and move forward in faith to accomplish this great work. We conclude with the words from our dear prophet, Thomas S. Monson.
The ordinances performed in our temples are vital to our salvation and to the salvation of our deceased loved ones. May we continue faithful in attending the temples, which are being built closer and closer to our members.
You've been listening to the Relief Society program on the Mormon Channel. For more information on this program or for a link to the text of the visiting teaching message, visit radio.lds.org.